Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The churches of Christ are those local autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony, without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. I'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We are an inner-city, all-volunteer congregation of the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden. None of us get paid. We do this because we believe in Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And so we're going to continue to preach the gospel to all the world and feed the poor. We'd like to give you a little overview of our radio broadcasts today. We have six national broadcasts that go out, one to all of North Texas on 1630 AM radio, one to Abilene, Texas that covers our Jerusalem, Shame on you out there, Randy, and the change movement. And of course, we have Oklahoma that covers all of Oklahoma coming out of Oklahoma City. And then we have Nashville that covers all of Tennessee, some of Kentucky, Mississippi, and Alabama, Georgia. So we have these national broadcasts, and the national broadcast is at 11:30 and again at 4:30. And then our worldwide radio broadcast goes out. Our first broadcast covers about 5 billion people, everything but part of China and part of Russia. Our broadcast 2 covers about 3 billion people. There's 1.2 billion in India, 1.4 billion in China. Then we get all of Russia and all of the Pacific, Malaysia, the Philippines, Indonesia, Australia, New Zealand. Our broadcast 3 goes out and gets Africa, all of India, all of Europe. That's about 3 billion people. Broadcast 4 covers all of North America. That's about 500 million people. Broadcast 5 covers all of South America. It's about 500 million people. Broadcast 3 covers all of China, India, Russia, all of Pacific Rim, about 3 billion people. Broadcast 7 covers about 3 billion people, covering the Pacific Rim. Broadcast 8, 9, and 10 covers all of Africa, 1 billion people in Africa. 21 of those countries are English-speaking. Less than 22% of the people can read, so their only chance of hearing about Jesus is to hear the spoken word of God. Our broadcast 11 covers about 3 billion people, covering Africa, India, and all of Europe. Broadcast 12 is North America, about 500 million. Broadcast 13 is about 500 million people, covering all of South America. Broadcast 14 is all of China, all of Russia, India, the Pacific, about 3 billion people. Broadcast 15, 16, and 17 cover all of Africa, 1 billion people. Broadcast 18 is again Russia, India, China, and the Pacific, about 3 billion people. Broadcast 19 covers about 5 billion people, North and South America, Africa, India, Russia, and Europe. Broadcast 20 and 21 covers the whole world, but it's spotted. It covers about 5 billion people. And so God is being really good to us in allowing us to take forward the gospel as he commanded us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we're certainly trying to do that. So if those of you out there in radio land, if you're tired of seeing your contribution, go to Professor Smart and his brand new Cadillac, or paying for Professor Twiddly D.D.'s new matching. Here on earth, we're working for matching in the sky. And so for as little as $75 a week or $300 a month, you could sponsor a broadcast going out to all the earth. So why don't you put your money to work? We're going to study this morning the book of Ephesians, which is Paul's love letter to the church. The doctrine of the church is taught in Ephesians 1, 1 through chapter 4, verse 13, and then right or holy living and righteousness are the main themes for the remainder of the epistle. The beginning emphasis is on the supremacy of the church of Christ as God's predestinated, foreknown plan, his eternal purpose, and his manifold wisdom. When you look at words like that, eternal purpose, that means that God had no other purpose. And his manifold wisdom means that it's over and over and over and over again, wisdom of God. Predestinated is like going to school where the plan and the rules are already outlined from the beginning. You must make a grade of 70% to pass the course. What gives you the minimum grade is not works of righteousness that we have done, but being in Christ Jesus. Following our baptism into Christ, we are to remain in a state of believing obedience. This does not mean that you're not ever going to sin again. It means that when you sin, you're going to confess your sins, you're going to repent of your sins, and you're going to do your best not to do those sins again. So that's the job of all Christians. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Ancient written form had the author's name first, opposite of today's signature on a letter is at the last sign. Paul affirms his apostleship and states that he is an apostle by the will of God. Every Christian was called to be a saint. All of you are saints. We're all called to be saints. Saints are the holy ones. It's a term that's known back in the Old Testament by the Hebrew words, the Zakidim or the Hasidim, the holy ones, meaning the pious ones, those who were trying to live a godly life. The article thee, the word thee, is not found in the Greek manuscripts. Therefore, the scripture should read, the saints which are at Ephesus, faithful in Christ Jesus. So who are saints? Well, they're the people that are faithful in Christ Jesus. If you're not faithful in Christ Jesus, then you're no longer a saint. Our Calvinist friends teach the eternal security of the saints. It's beautiful words, and I believe in the eternal security of the saints. The only problem is that some people don't remain saints. That's the only problem. So you're not eternally secure if you're not a saint. If you commit major sin with a high hand, you've got to repent of those sins in order to be forgiven. Every Christian was called to be a saint. So saints are those that are faithful in Christ Jesus, are sanctified. Sanctified means set apart as holy unto God. Anything in a temple that was used as part of the temple worship was sanctified. It was holy to God. It was just used for that purpose. Nothing common or unclean could be associated with it. Paul uses this term also again in 1 Corinthians 1:2. And to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So the people who are sanctified are people that are in Christ Jesus. It's important to you to be in Christ Jesus. Called, we're all called by the gospel, called to be saints with all that in every place, called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice the term in Christ. It's a term that's used over 30 times in this book of Ephesians and found throughout the New Testament. How do we get into Christ? There's only two blocks of scripture in the New Testament that teaches us how to get into Christ. We saw a young lady do that this morning between Sunday school and church. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into. Notice that into. It's not unto. There are two different Greek words that are used and translated in the New Testament, one being in and the other being unto. I can come unto church and never enter the building. I can come into church and I enter the building, right? So that's the difference. One is unto Christ. You can believe unto Christ. You can repent unto Christ. You can confess unto Christ. But you're baptized into Christ. It's the final act of the conversion experience. You believe, you repent, you confess, you have faith and trust in God to save you, and you're baptized into Christ. Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not, so many of us are baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Again, we have a circle of truth. The death, the burial, and the resurrection is a gospel. So what is baptism? It is a reenactment of the gospel in our life. We're baptized into death. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Now, just as Christ died on the cross, God wants you to make up your mind to die to sin, that you've had it with sin, you're done with sin. The wages of sin is death. Sin doesn't pay very good. I'm living proof that crime does not pay. Just talk to me after church and I'll talk to you about it. I'm just living proof of it. So just as Christ died on the cross, God wants us to die to sin. Just as he was buried in a watery grave, God wants us to be buried in a watery grave of baptism. Just as Christ rose from the dead to rise to ascend to heaven, God wants us to rise from that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, in verse 26, the verse in front of it says, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now the word used there is in the Greek is tis pistios, that means the faith of Christ Jesus. It means the entire corpus of New Testament teaching that's found in the Bible. The faith of Christ is the entire New Testament doctrine of Christianity. Verse 27. So after you accept the entire teaching of New Testament Christianity, then for as many of you who have been baptized, see that word, into? into Christ have put on Christ. So these are the two verses that teach us how to do that. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there, 1,000 written lessons, all kinds of links. You can get a college education on that website. And if you want to go to preacher school, get in touch with us. Ephesians 1:2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The church at Ephesus was a mixed church, just like we're a mixed church. We're about half black and half white. The church in Ephesus was Jew and Gentile. This is a common New Testament greeting that will bestow unmerited favor upon them. Greek is grace. The word that we translate grace, charis, is a common Gentile greeting among Gentiles. One Gentile would be seeing another coming down the street, and he'd say, charis to you, Ty. And Ty'd say, well, charis to you, Brother Kelly. It means grace to you. Unmerited favor of God upon you, in other words. While a Jew would run into another Jew and he'd say, shalom. And the other Jew tell him, shalom to you, brother, whatever his name was, Paul or Abraham or whatever his name was. So it was a common greeting showing a mixed congregation at Ephesus. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, notice it's a past tense verb, it's already happened, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, not some of them, but with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. This is not talking about some day in heaven. Blessed is a word that we get eulogized from. You know, at a funeral, you give a eulogy for the guy. That means that you praise him, the dead guy. You talk all about him and how good he was. All spiritual blessings means that all the blessings came from God, and he gave every one of them, and he withheld nothing. God has already given every spiritual blessing, and notice this word, in the heavenly. It means, Matthew uses that term, the kingdom of heaven, meaning the church, while the other New Testament writers use the kingdom of God, meaning the church. God has given all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus to the church, to all of us. And who are the church? It's not a building. It's the people that are in Christ who have become Christians that are in Christ. Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Our Baptist friends and Calvinist folks teach that the church is an afterthought in the mind of God. That makes a little bitty small God. That's not the God that I worship. The God that I worship had a predestinated plan before the foundation of the world. God could look all the way through history, and he could see the millions upon billions of ways that he could have redeemed mankind and that he could have brought mankind into being. And he chose the very perfect way. The very perfect way was to redeem us in Christ Jesus and to call out a people to himself known as the kingdom of God and the church of Christ. And before, way back here, before the foundation of the world, he could look all the way through history and say, ah, there's old Kelly. Man, he's going to be a rounder. He's going to get in plenty of trouble. Ah, I can see a little further on. Kelly's going to repent. Kelly's going to change. Kelly's going to do right. And so because Kelly's going to do right, I can be in his life. I can be helping him get through his life to the point that he's gonna do right. Does any of you here feel like God has been bringing you to this place? He's been helping you along, keeping you from murdering yourself, keeping you from killing yourself or somebody else killing you? Do you feel like that you got here by the grace of God only? I'm telling you, I do. I know I do. According as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Chosen us does not mean that he has chosen us and rejected others. Doesn't mean that at all. Calvinism says that, and Calvinism is totally wrong. Calvinism says that back here before the foundation of the world, God looked all the way through history and he chose some people to go to heaven, just a minute few, and he chose all the rest to go to hell. And all of those that he chose to go to heaven can't do nothing to go to hell. And all those that he chose to go to hell, they can't do nothing to go to heaven. Come on, you wouldn't worship a God like that that tells you then to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. If I thought that God was like that and had made that type of predetermined disposition of people, why preach? No matter how much I preach, not one more person would ever be saved. No matter how much I preach, not one more person would be lost, no matter what they do. Come on, that's hogwash. Chosen does not mean that he's chosen us and rejected others, but rather that God chose a plan, which was to have a people for himself. And those people are called the churches of Christ in the Bible. Romans 16:16. The churches of Christ salute you, meaning all the little different congregations of the Church of Christ throughout the world make up the churches of Christ. God chose and foreordained a plan before he ever said, "Let there be light." He had a plan in mind. This is not evolution. This is not the Big Bang. This is not an explosion. This is the plan of God, the manifold wisdom of God, God's eternal purpose, which he proposed in his own mind before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1:19. How were you saved? But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained. Notice that word, foreordained, before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. God had a foreordained plan. Before he ever said, "Let there be light," he foreordained that he himself would take on flesh and blood, become the Messiah, live a perfect sinless life, die on the cross, the innocent for the guilty. The death of an innocent victim is required because you and I are guilty of sin. It requires the death of an innocent victim in our place. 1 Peter 1:2. Elect, that means chosen again, according to the foreknowledge of God. God knew it. He could look through history and he'd know, aha, there's Otai. Otai's going to choose to become a Christian. God didn't make you become a Christian. You chose to become a Christian. Your wife got you here and made you listen to the preaching. That's what did it. The Word of God did it, didn't it? Tell the truth. Isn't that what did it? It wasn't me. It wasn't anything. It was the Word of God itself. That faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Nothing else will do it. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification set apart as holy of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. In 2 Timothy 1:9, speaking of this foreknowledge, it says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works." We can't work or earn it or merit salvation, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us, where? In Christ Jesus, before the world began. Before the world began, God looked through history, and everything had to do with this foreordained plan, this manifold wisdom of God, this eternal purpose of God, that he would save a people for himself, and that is the people that are found in Christ Jesus. So you see how important it is that you be in Christ Jesus. You can't foul this up. You only come around here once. I mean, all of us are going to croak. You better croak in Christ Jesus or you got real bad problems. In Titus 1:2, it speaks about in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Before he ever said, "Let there be light," before creation, he promised eternal life. Who'd he promise it to? Well, to himself, to the other parts of the Godhead, the Son and the Spirit, the Word of God, which became the Son and the Spirit, to the angels. Who knows? But he promised it before the world began. He promised eternal life. It's his manifold wisdom. It's his eternal purpose. This is a plan. Don't ever let anybody say you on this evolution stuff. This is a plan of God. Ephesians 1:4 again. According as he hath, past tense verb, already happened, chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now the next clause. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Foundation of the world is all attempts to get rid of the plain meaning of this phrase have been futile. F.F. Bruce says, whatever the interpretation of Genesis 1:1, it's certain that bara, the Hebrew word, and katabol, the Greek, can mean nothing but the laying down in the sense of establishing or founding the foundation of the world, in other words. The phrase used here and 10 other times in New Testament passages is unambiguous and denotes the creation of the universe. Notice the phrase, holy and without blame before him in love. Our holiness is the proof that we're in Christ or in him. If you saw me and I was still living the way that I used to live, packing 3 pistols, one up here in a shoulder holster, one on my hip, one on my leg, if you seen me still running around like that, carrying a machine gun, wearing a bulletproof vest, would you think that I was holy and without blame before him in love? There has to be a change in people. You have to make a change. From the misdemeanor center has to get better, and a felony center like me has to get better. All of us have to start making this change and becoming Christ-like. You have to be willing to stand up for Christ, have a backbone, be a Christian, and begin to get your madness under control. Begin to leave the drugs and alcohol alone. Flee pornography, it'll mess your mind up totally. Flee wickedness, flee all wickedness. Do your very best to live a holy life, and when you goof, confess it. You don't have to be specific when you confess. When you walk down here and you make confession to the church, then all you have to do is say, I've sinned. Now, you have to be specific when you in prayer confess to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and then I tell him exactly what I did wrong. But when I talk to you, I don't need to tell you unless you confess one of your sins to me. Now, of course, the Bible says confess your faults one to another and pray ye one for another. So every one of you that's ever come down here and confessed some sin to me, you put me in a bad position because I got to confess one of my sins to you. And, of course, I trust you to keep your mouth shut. And you trust me to keep my mouth shut. And that's the way it works. It's not like that Catholic thing where you go into a confessional and one priest hears your confession and all that stuff. You don't have to do that. You have direct access to God yourself. You confess your sins one to another, and general confession is good enough. We should be holy and without blame before him in love, and our holiness is proof that we're in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, if God can make a Christian out of me, he can make it out of anybody. There's nobody in the world drank as much Budweiser beer and smoked as much marijuana and done as much wrong as I have. And I'm telling you, I've fleed it, and for 23 years I've lived before you a Christian life, and you've seen it with your own eyes. Colossians 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, and I'm risen with him. How about you? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above and not on the earth. Don't be thinking about earthly sin. Put your affection on heaven because we're going to a new place. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. How do you do this? In Romans chapter 12, Paul tells us the secret of how to do this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God, in the Old Testament period here, accepted dead sacrifices. You take a sheep, you cut the sheep's throat, bleed him out, burn him on an altar to the Lord. In substitution for your own death,
looking forward in faith to the coming of the Messiah, the plan of God. All the people in the Old Testament knew that the Deliverer was coming. Those who looked forward and substituted a lamb as a sacrifice till the coming of Christ, all that did was push sin forward for another year to the Day of Atonement, for another year to the Day of Atonement, another year until the Christ could finally come and make an end of sin. What I'm telling you is that everybody saved under this Old Testament period prior to the cross was saved by the cross. They were saved by looking forward in faith to the coming of the cross. All of those saved after the cross are saved by the cross by looking back in faith to the cross. God has a plan. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God had dead sacrifices. Now he wants living sacrifices. How do we present our bodies a living sacrifice? Well, if you're geared for women, every time you see a beautiful woman, you put blinders on and you don't look. If you're geared for alcohol, every time you're tempted and somebody hands you a jug, you tell them, no, no, I'm abstaining. If you're geared for crack cocaine, every time somebody offers you the short on their pipe, you tell them, no, 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 I'm not having anything to do with that. And so all of those things, you're helping present your body a living sacrifice. Notice that it says, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that word service there is the work of a priest. That's the word that a priest does. They present service in the temple. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? The Word of God. Read the Bible this year. Try to read the Bible this year. If you don't read well, get it on tape. Listen to the Bible this year. Be involved in the Word of God. Put good things in your mind. It's just like a computer. Garbage in, you get garbage out. Put good things in, you get good things out. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of the Lord. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's a thousands of audio sermons on there. There's DVDs on there. It'll take a couple of minutes to download, but you guys ought to look at those DVDs. Joe's doing a marvelous work back there. He's like Cecil B. DeMille's with a cast of thousands. There's 1,000 written lessons on there and all kinds of links. Ephesians 1:5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ and Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Predestinated means that God foreordained a plan that the church should be made up of those people adopted as His children. We're adopted as children of God when we become Christians. God is sovereign, and His plan made up the pleasure of His sovereign will. No matter how much professors and theologians and twiddly-dee-dees tried through the ages to make something hard out of predestination, the meaning is not difficult. God designated the whole creation to accomplish the fulfillment of a plan which existed before creation. It's just that simple as this definition of it that I gave you. I'm going to read it again. God designed the whole creation to accomplish the fulfillment of the plan that existed before the creation. It applies to human beings, planets, galaxies, everything God ever made. Regarding people, God's purpose in creating man is that he might become a son of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a destiny God intended for every man ever born on the earth. Stars and galaxies may not oppose or thwart the intended destiny. But people, there's another factor, and that factor is the freedom of choice and the human will, enabling people to hinder or even prevent the fulfillment of God's purpose in their life. God had a preordained, foreordained plan before the foundation of the world, and that is that we become His adopted children. That is what predestination means. It does not mean that God predestined some people to be good and some people to be bad and some people to be saved and some people to be lost. Doesn't mean that at all. You know, in dealing with Calvinists, I've had many of them tell me, they go to that Romans 9, they say, but it says here, but Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And they say, see, before they were ever born, God loved Jacob and hated Esau. And I tell them, try to find me that in the Bible, give them a Bible. And they'll start looking back there in Genesis about 18 and 19 and 20. They start looking for Jacob. And then they find Jacob over in about 26 and 24. And they start finding it there, but they can't find it. You know, when it's written in Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. 1,400 years after these people lived, God could say, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. It wasn't before they were born that He said that. He said it 1,400 years after they were born. You see why they're called twiddly-dee-dees? Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Adopting us as children results again unto His praise, who has made all possible in the Beloved, which is the church. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We're sold into bondage to sin. Christ redeemed or brought us back from sin, and a price He paid to buy us back was His blood. 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Ephesians 1:8, wherein He has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Wisdom and prudence is fully shown by His grace and mercy. Verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He has proposed in Himself, having made known to us all of His adopted children, the mystery which is something beyond human comprehension until it is revealed. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. And the fullness of time is the last age, beginning with the birth of Jesus. How do we know that? In Galatians 1:4 it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, made under the law. It is also known as the last days in Hebrews 1:1 and 2, telling us how God spake, or the last dispensation. The mystery is He has gathered together all things, both Jew and Gentile. They're gathered together in one family, united as a body under one head, which is Christ, who is over all things, angels and humans. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him that worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. The inheritance is, eyes not seen and ears not heard, neither is entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. I did a funeral here in 2001 for a guy named Jerry that died. And the president of Hyatt was sitting out there, and one of the deacons got up after I had preached that morning, and he mentioned that I had worked here for 10 years for no pay and no vacation. And the president of Hyatt sent my wife and I to Hawaii and put us up in a penthouse at the Hyatt Regency Hotel at Waikiki Beach. And it was the most beautiful place in the world to have a suite of rooms, a penthouse floor, a suite of rooms with a balcony right over Waikiki Beach and Diamond Head, that great thing right to our left, and Waikiki Beach right in front of us. Most beautiful place in the world to watch the sun come up in the morning. I'd go out there and drink that cone of coffee and watch the sun come up in the morning. And they had limousines that took us all over. And we went to luau's at the Mauna Loa, a hotel across the street. And they had everything from roast pig. And they had a club up at the Regency floor just for the big shots, the multimillionaires that we were living on those those floors, and so we got to go up there and eat free. And they had strawberries that big, you wouldn't believe them, and pineapple, fresh grown pineapple in Hawaii. You just won't believe how great and sweet that was. And all of the fruit and all of the food that they had up there was just absolutely wonderful. And the Bible says that eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither is entered the heart of man. The things that God hath, he's already done it, hath, past tense verb, prepared for those that love him. Heaven is better than a luau at Waikiki Beach. It's better than the Hyatt Regency Hotel. It's better than a limousine. God's chariot of angels taking me to heaven is going to be better than a limousine picking me up and taking me to the Mount of Lord. Y'all don't grieve for me when I croak. This little kid got up in bed with his granddaddy to the hospital, and he said, "Granddaddy, can you make the sound of a frog?" And he said, "Well, I guess so." I said, "How come?" He said, "Grandma said as soon as you croak, we're going to Disney World." So when I croak, y'all believe that I've gone to Disney World in Hawaii, man. Y'all rejoice for me when I croak. That's going to be a wonderful day. For I'll see him face to face, and I'll know him just as I know that I am known. Everlasting life fits in the predestinated plan that the church is made up of his adopted children. That's who we are. We're God's adopted children. That was brought about by God's own power working throughout the ages. In the Garden of Eden, God said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The Messiah's coming. He's going to be born of a woman. A man's not going to be involved in the deal. He's going to be born of a woman. He's going to live a perfect, sinless life. He's going to do a toe dance on the head of the serpent. He's going to walk all over you, devil. He's going to stomp you into the dust. And that's exactly what he did. And God promised the same thing to Abraham, and he promised the same thing to King David. And now we're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Drop down with me to Ephesians 1:12. That we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. The we's the Jewish believers that were first to trust in Christ, and then the Gentiles came to know him. Verse 13, in whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The ye is the Gentile believers who became trusted and became believers in Christ. By trust and obedience, faith, God sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. How did he do that? Well, he promised it in Acts 1:4, but wait ye for the promise of the Father, which he says you have heard of me. And when was that promise given in Acts 38:39? Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise, there's that key word, for the promise is unto you and to your children, as many as are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Just like a calf is branded with proof of ownership, that brand gets proof of ownership. A seal is placed upon a document to authenticate the document, and the Holy Spirit is placed upon us to authenticate our adoption as his children. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, the praise of his glory. Earnest money is a down payment to seal a bargain. I'll buy the car. Here's $1,000 down. Take the $1,000 down. I'll bring the rest of the money back in an hour. It's a down payment. It's earnest money. The Holy Spirit is our earnest money. How do we know that we have the Holy Spirit? Well, we don't walk on water. We don't work miracles. But the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Go read Romans 8. There's a lot of things the Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit is a small part of the future whole that God gives us as proof that we've been adopted as children. It lets us know that we're going to Hawaii when we die. The final redemption is our resurrection from the grave. The purchased possession of the children that was purchased by Christ's blood. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, Paul has been updated by the church in Ephesus. He had left in the spring of 57 A.D., and he's writing this book some 4 or 5 years later, about 62 A.D., a couple of years before he dies, probably from Rome. Ephesians 1:16, cease not to give thanks to you, making mention to you in my prayers, because he's received such a good report, he's given prayerful thanks to them. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. The Father is the source of all glory. The spirit of wisdom was one of the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. Knowledge is to know. Wisdom is to put into practice that which you know. The Bible tells us don't fornicate. Wisdom is being tempted with fornication and not doing it. The Bible teaches us don't steal. Wisdom, you can know not to steal. Wisdom is to be tempted. That woman left her purse there. Man, that's a $100 bill sticking up in that purse. To be tempted to steal and not steal. To take the purse, bring it to one of the deacons. No, bring it to me or Eric. I'm just kidding. I got to jab the deacon every once in a while. That to add your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory, inheritance of the saints. God is light, and in him is no darkness of all. In John 1:5, it tells us that. This is then the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness of all. To know is to have full understanding of the hope of his calling, which is everlasting life. If you really have this everlasting life in view in your mind, you're not going to give it up for a measly $100, are you? What is $100? It's chump change. Now, once you have a price, see, if you won't steal $100, but you will steal $1,000, the devil's got $1,000, that's no problem. You put $1,000 in front of you. And if you won't steal $1,000, but you will steal $10,000, then he'll offer you $10,000. Woman accused me of wanting to steal this place a year ago. She has to be crazy. I'm 72 years old. What would I do with the money? I mean, seriously, what would I do with the money? If I wanted to steal this place, I'd have stole it from the very beginning. You know how do you steal this place? You don't feed anybody. You don't preach the gospel. You give them 10-minute coo whip sermons. 90% of you wouldn't be sitting here. Those that are sitting here couldn't pay the electricity. There'd be no radio broadcast. The last one standing would be me. I'd already got tough guy and run everybody else off. That's how you steal this place. Then you sell it. You put it in a church bank account, and you go to some place like Bermuda and lay on the beach and just write checks out of that church bank account paying your expenses. That's the way you steal this place. That's the way twiddly-dee-dees do. That's the way them flim-flam spellbinder preachers do. That's the way the people wanted to do that was here before me. God sent me here because I know a thief when I see a thief. Because I've been there and done that, and I'm not ever going to do it again. I don't have a price. There's no price that can get me to do that. $1 million won't do it. $5 million won't do it. No amount of money can bribe me. I've made every mistake a person can make. I don't want you to make those mistakes. I'm telling you, sin and crime does not pay. I'm living proof of it. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory and the mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ Jesus in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. Christ in you, your hope of glory. Verse 19, that what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the workings of his mighty power. Greek, kraktos, meaning vigor, strength, dominion. The great knowledge of everlasting life, our glorious inheritance. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. If a dead Savior's blood can save us from our sin, how much more powerful, kraktos, how much more powerful is a living Savior seated at God's own right hand who's making intercession for me, who's saying, Lord, now take it easy just a minute. Kelly's one of mine. I know he lost his temper. I know that he did not done exactly right. I'm going to discipline. I'm going to straighten him out. He's one of mine. Just be cool a minute. Jesus, as our high priest, sitting at God's own right hand, making intercession for me, is the most powerful thing in the universe. There's nothing like it. Ephesians 1:21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and name, every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is far to come. Far above all kings, princes, magistrates, angelistic beings, either good or bad. Verse 22. And has put all things under him feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Christ has been given all authority and power. Christ has made up the head of the church. Not just the ruler, but the head of the body, which gets life from the head. You cut a hand off, we're just a hand. We're just a toe. We're just an arm. You cut a arm off, the body can live. You cut the head off, the body can't live. Christ is the head of the church, where life comes from. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. This is his spiritual, earthly body, living and united in union with the head. The fullness of him is the visible manifestation of the fullness of him living from the dead. He fills all with his glory and majesty and power. The last four verses describe Christ's glorious resurrection, his exaltation to God's own right hand, his supreme dominion over all things, and his being the head of the body, which is the church, which is you. If you're here this morning, you're ready to become a Christian, you're going to have that opportunity, you march right down to the front and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you have sin in your life, you need to repent. You need to come forward now and ask for the prayers of the church to help the church. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ.
Oh, Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.